Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. The Frederick Faith Debate is brought to you by AllShred, mobile document destruction. AllShred, they sell security. Frederick Faith Debate, as you've heard me tell you, week in and week out, is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. My hope for the show is that it will be viewed as a safe haven to be brutally honest with one another, even if we disagree. We'll see how well that goes today. Thomas Jefferson said, the clash of ideas is the sound of freedom. So if you hear any clashing today, you'll know that that is freedom ringing.
We'll try to keep it brutal.
We hope that through our wrestling on the show that you'll come to a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. This week, we're going to continue a discussion we started last week. We started as a leaping off point, the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, which is a series of books, novels, which has turned into a children's series as well, and a couple of movies came out that talk about the end times and what we might anticipate the end of the world to look like, all the events leading up to Armageddon. Here to talk about that again this week are Jonathan Schweitzer, the pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel here in Frederick, and Bill Wilson, who is the editor and publisher of the Daily Jot. You can check out his work at dailyjot.com. For 27 years, he's been involved in broadcast journalism and political consulting. He co-founded Word of Life Ministry with his wife and some other dear friends, I would imagine. He's also co-founder of a ministry to the handicapped in Ghana, West Africa, and is author of a couple of books, including Christian Parents' Guide to Making the Internet Family Friendly and Warshod, Living Victoriously in the End Times. And he also does newscasts for Sky Angel Radio Network. And we interrupted him from his 15 minutes of sleep. That's all he gets a week, I'm sure, to come and be a part of the show.
That's right.
That's about right, I'd say.
He's got kids, whether you can believe it or not.
Man.
Troy, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Ask you to do something? In lieu of what the show has often been in terms of having people who are not Christians and others on, could you kind of set this show in that context? I mean, clearly we're in a Christian context here, and we're grappling with issues that are clearly in the evangelical Christian world, those that believe the Bible to be the Word of God.
Is there anything left for me to say?
I was wondering. Yeah.
What he said.
I actually left some there for you. Ready?
You did? Well, I will say this. I guess I'll try to clean that up a little
good,
bit.
Thank you.
As best I can.
I was hoping you would.
This show is an open forum for anybody of all religious persuasions of views to be on. And we've had Muslims and Jews and Universalists, you know, Unitarians,
we'd like to get some Buddhists, some atheists.
Charismatics, you know, fundamental right-wing, you know, Calvinists. You name it. We've either had them on, invited them on, hope to have them on.
Yep.
You know, my dream for this show is that we're going to have a show that's going to have an atheist and a pagan and a Hindu and a Buddhist.
And
seriously, have everybody share what their view of the truth is. In the end, those who listen to the show will figure out what the truth really is.
Yeah, that's the hope.
You know, I try not to fall prey to, this will belie some bias on my part. I try to fall prey to the lie that everyone has their own truth.
Right.
I think that everyone can have their own idea of what they think the truth is. But if John has one idea, I have another idea, and they're very different.
Yeah.
They can't both be right, in my opinion, in all likelihood. Either John's right, either John's wrong, or I'm wrong, or we're both wrong. Odds are pretty darn slim that we're both right. Anyway, but this is an environment now where we have three Christians in the room.
Yeah.
We might disagree on some things, but we all, I think, believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior.
Yeah.
Amen.
Died a horrible, brutal death on the cross. Was raised 3 days later in a literal bodily resurrection, and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven in power, acting as an intercessor for those that believe in him, and
has sent his Spirit to live in our
hearts. The Holy Spirit
has given us the Bible as his
absolutely. So we all agree with that stuff.
Yeah, that's where we are
now. But we don't all necessarily agree on the specific subject matter of today's show, and I don't want to get bogged down in all of that exactly.
Sure.
Because I don't want to. I think a theological discussion on that would be a good show.
Yeah.
But I don't know that this is the show I want that to be.
Basically, we want, Bill, for you to give us some more of these scenarios that you've identified that tie in to the end times prophecies. That's kind of where we're hoping to go
stage,
and to kind of grapple with that today.
Bill puts forth an argument that is shared by many in the Christian world, that there are a series of events that need to happen to fulfill prophecy before Jesus Christ can come in his glorious appearing, his second coming. And in the first show, if you missed last week's show, shame on you. Bill pointed to 1948 as a watershed year with the reestablishment of Israel as a nation, and that was a key moment in biblical prophecy. I disagreed a little bit with that, but I'm just for the record putting that out there. Not that I want to get into all that. So now that that's all out there, I do want to talk about what are some of the other things that need to happen, or has everything now been fulfilled and we're just kind of waiting for things to kind of tidy themselves up? Or are there some major moments that still have to happen? We know that the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famine and pestilence and death and things turning
false
into blood
prophets
and stars falling from the sky and all of these things that are in Revelation, which are a big part of the Left Behind series, and I imagine might be a big part of the soon-to-come-out or recently-come-out TV show Revelations, which I think is somewhat quasi-related on to End Times Prophecy. I'm not real familiar with that show. But anyway, so all of that, I'm now going to give Bill the rest of the show to talk.
Oh, wow.
At least until we interrupt you.
Yeah, at least. Well, you know, you had mentioned that I have been for 20 plus years either a broadcast journalist or involved in politics. And so from a journalist perspective, I'm seeking the facts and trying to take the facts and look at them in perspective and put them and align them up with what is said in the Bible. And that's what I do every day.
So let me ask you this. Have you tried to line something up and come back later on and being like, I probably didn't line that up very well?
Well, sometimes I think that it's not as clear as it ought to be.
We'd like it to be.
Yeah, and as I try not to take liberty on any of those things. For example, when I was writing the book, Warshod, the one thing about earthquakes, you said there's wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and earthquakes.
Yeah.
And those things are going to be in more of a frequency. Many scientists would argue that we just did not have the ability to measure how many earthquakes there were in the world in 1800
so there
or
could have been
1900. So there could have been lots of them.
Yeah.
So what I did was I took the earthquakes in a 14-year period from 1990 until 2004, which is where I could get my statistics. And I'm going to say, well, the technology was about the same during that time period. And what I found was that earthquakes increased about 88%, and the frequency of large mega earthquakes increased about the same number during that time frame.
In fact, even atheistic scientists would claim the same thing, that climate change is rapidly advancing, and obviously they would put a different slant on why that's happening. But basically that's what you're saying is that, happening.
Wars and rumors of wars, for example. It took till about the mid-1800s, I can't remember the exact date, for the world population to have reached in number of a billion people.
Huh.
And, to just total a billion people from the beginning of time in best estimates. But in the 1900s, almost a billion people were killed as a result of war and the famine and pestilence that resulted in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we see a huge break there.
Yeah.
And what happened in the 1900s, later, 1948, mid-1900s, it was the establishment of Israel. And I know that I said before that that's a watershed event, and I believe that it is.
Yeah.
So we see at that point some more acceleration of some of this stuff that's going on. And we talked a little bit last week about, some of the alliances that I think need to be in place for some of the prophecy to be fulfilled. Before
alliances,
alliances between nations, against
Russia,
Israel,
China,
things like that. Yes,
Iraq, Iran,
exactly.
Yeah,
and so I looked at this from the perspective of what has happened factually.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? What did Ezekiel say? What did Daniel say?
Daniel.
John the Revelator, you know, all these guys.
Yeah.
And tried to map it against that. Mm. Now, I did not come here to say that this is exactly the way it's going to be. Yeah. We don't know. Nobody knows. I mean, even among the three of us, there is, you know, disagreement on the timing and things that. And we can kind of laugh about it and say, okay, well, this is what we think.
Yeah.
But what I tried to do is just stick to the facts and map it against prophecy.
Okay, let me ask a couple of, you know, pardon the play on words here. I know I need to come up with a different phrase, but let me play the role of devil's advocate.
Okay.
looking at earthquakes over a 14-year span, because for logical reasons, the information-gathering technology on measuring earthquakes is pretty similar over that period of time. However, 14 years, for those that believe that the Earth is millions of years old, and even those that believe the Earth is 6,000 years old, 14 years is a blink of an eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how, you know, is that a large enough sample size in number of years to really mean anything, or is it possible that there are cycles where you might have a 10, 20-year cycle where earthquake activity exponentially increases and then backs off?
Like a cycle.
And then 100 years later, there's this cycle, and then it backs. I mean, we don't know that. Mm-hmm. Right? That would be an argument somebody might use against.
Certainly that's possible at some level.
I tried to look also at other barometers, like when were other earthquakes recorded, you know, like in the 1800s, the 1700s, and so on. And I felt that there was a less of frequency, and I couldn't detect necessarily a cycle, an up and down in that. Mm. So, yeah, you could say, well, 14 years is a speck of dust in time, and it is. But what we did see in that 14-year span is a steady increase, not an up and down increase. Each year it increased steadily. So, you know, Lucifer, I can't answer your question on the terms of the beginning to the
so there's horns growing out of your head.
Time, but I can say that during that time there was a steady increase.
Now, for the record, I will have everyone note that he referred to me by the name of the pre-fall angel when he was still in his glorious state as one of God's preferred angels, Lucifer, before he fell and became Satan.
For the record, Troy, apparently he is still an angel of light. So. You better beware.
Just perfectly designed to deceive the many, right? Is there another phrase for devil's advocate question? Is there another phrase in the English vocabulary?
Well, the point is, let's challenge this stuff and let's just see if we can shake it a little
another
bit.
Another challenging question.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Troy.
A billion people died in wars in the last century.
Yeah, huge.
Okay?
Yeah.
Huge number.
Mm-hmm.
But as a percentage of the bodies available to kill,
was
it very much different than in the past? I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
Percent.
But, you know, I think that's an important thing. If you have 100 people and 10% of them die, it's only 10 people, and you compare that with 10% of a million people and say, wow, so many more people are dying, but it's the same percentage. Is that true or no?
I think that the percentage has also increased with the mechanization of war that we saw, like during the U.S. Civil War and World War I. The percentage of people of deaths in war also increased. It's hard to say because back when you had to do hand-to-hand combat with swords, you know, how much of the percentage of the population actually went to war. But a large number of men usually did go to war, and a large number died.
Hmm.
So I think the percentage has also increased as well. Now, the population of the world is, somewhere around 6 billion or a little over 6 billion right now. It has exponentially increased. So we're looking at that as well. But I think that if you looked at the number of people that went to war and the percentage that died, you would see an increase in that as well.
Hmm. Now, you talked in the last show, and you talked again a little bit about it in the show, about the these alliances that are forming with, you know, with Russia and surrounding nations, Gog and all, Magog and whatever, all that stuff.
Right.
Those alliances, I guess, are still forming, and that's why you're looking at these indicators in the news saying, oh, now this alliance is getting stronger. So
what
closer.
Other ones do you see?
What other ones do I see? I think that as we look at where things were mapped in the Bible and what is currently happening.
Yeah.
You see, basically, the United States and Israel as the only strong supporters of Israel.
It's true, isn't it?
Yes. And the Muslim world,
the European Union seems to be against
pro-Palestinian, against Israel. Yeah. They believe that there's a type of thought, of groupthink here, that the European Union, most of the European nations, including Britain, mm-hmm. would say that the only reason why we don't have peace in the Middle East is because these nasty Israelis won't give the land back to the Palestinians.
Right, okay.
And so if we establish a Palestinian state, there's going to be peace.
Right.
But if you look at Islam, and you see how they have operated in the Middle East, that isn't necessarily the case. And if you go to
Certainly Arafat's whole stated purpose, Palestine from the beginning, was to destroy and drive the infidels back into the sea,
kind of a thing. Yeah. And that same doctrine is on Hamas's website, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, and
asserted their power
in Iran,
and
so forth. So you have these nations that are bloodthirsty against Israel, and you have nations who are supporting them financially and with military weapons and trying to coerce them, I guess, into giving up oil for weapons and also help them in their quest against Israel.
Hmm.
So that I see is something that couldn't have happened really before 1948.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, we had Hitler who tried to eliminate Jews from the face of the earth, but as a country, you know, when Israel was established, it had to go to war to fight off these Arabs that were around
them. Yeah, they had been a war basically from the beginning.
Yes. And
profoundly.
The Arab League said that they were going to flood the desert with Israeli blood, with Jewish blood, and exterminate them from the face of the earth. I mean, I'm not misquoting them.
In the Six-Day War, they all came together.
Yes.
Against Israel. I mean, that was definitely a concerted effort.
Yes. And that was also largely financed and supported militarily through equipment and so forth from the Soviet Union.
So then the tie-in to prophecy here is that these guys are setting themselves up against Jerusalem here in the greater, the more that they do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying the closer we're getting to Armageddon, basically.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says that Jerusalem will become a heavy burden, a stone to the nations, and all who cast it away will be cut into pieces.
You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. The guests this week are Bill Wilson, who is author of War Shod, a book about the end times, also authors a daily jot called Daily Jot. You can find it on the internet at dailyjot.com. Also, again, back this week is Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel here in Frederick. And we're talking about end times prophecies and what to make of it and how much we should be reading into the news events and be paying attention and that sort of thing. With the idea of the alliances that are being formed and all these things that are playing themselves out, it sounds like there's still some unfinished work. Does that lead us to believe that, you know, Jesus isn't going to come in the next 5 minutes? Some things still have to happen?
Yes. Well, what do you think about that, Troy?
Well, like I said before, I think he could come in the next 5 minutes. He could have come 100 years ago. He could have come
Hey, let me say something real quick about that. If they knew back then what we know now, clearly they wouldn't have thought that there was the chance that he could come right away. And say he tarries for another 1,000 years, there will be a significant number of events that happen between now and then that will more fulfill prophecy as we've seen it than ever before, that would cause us at that point to say, oh, well, he couldn't have come back then because all those things hadn't been fulfilled. Nevertheless, the point is we only see through a glass darkly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's the purpose of the prophecy, is to put a little fiber into our backbone as believers to say, man, don't give up. This stuff's got to happen. Stay strong, watch, you know, and don't be discouraged.
Well, I would say that quite clearly not everything that needs to happen before Christ comes back has happened. Otherwise, God would have, you know, Jesus would have come back already. So obviously things
Last time you spoke with him,
But based on, you know, based on what we are told to look for the bare minimum of what has to happen.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying. The bare minimum that has to happen before the second coming has already happened, from my view.
Okay.
But again,
okay,
I don't want to turn this into
Sure. Yeah, let's go
back
to...
The only reason we got there is because of you, John.
I did. I know.
Now,
I take Carl credit for that.
We've done now 1.5 shows on the end times, and we haven't talked about the thing that everybody wants to talk about.
There it is. Yep.
So here we go. Bill, who is the Antichrist, and what is the mark of the beast?
I don't know who the Antichrist is. The Antichrist, the Bible doesn't clearly state who he is going to be. The mark of the beast, though, will be, in my opinion, a mark that you will know that you are taking to either buy or sell or to be able to conduct your life in this world or not. And you will know that when you take it or when you don't take it, that you are either saying, I will follow you, Antichrist, or I will follow Jesus. I don't think it's something that they can slip in your tea, and you not know about. There's going to be a decision that you have to make. Are you with Jesus, or are you with the Antichrist? And at that point, the mark will be there. But you know something? The technology has never really been available until now to administer such a mark to masses of people in the billions. And now we have technology that we can readily do that with smart chips and other things that would be enabling you to have a cashless society and buy and sell. So that's another, prophecy that has been fulfilled.
Interesting.
Well, now, you wouldn't give me a name. Darn it, I really wanted a name. But what are some of the things that people should be looking for in someone that would fit the Antichrist profile?
Well, we know that the Antichrist is going to come in and negotiate peace. And world peace will be agreed to for a 7-year period, which marks the beginning of the tribulation. And at the 3.5-year mark, he's going to break that treaty. And so this has got to be a person who has charisma, who is old enough to have credibility, young enough to be daring and bold and see this through. He may
Sounds
need
like
to,
you, Troy.
Yeah. He may need to have some...
You may be past that age, actually, by now.
Many more years than I care to admit.
He may have some ideas some underpinnings of what Christ would have had, maybe a Jewish heritage of some sort. I don't know. These are little things that people talk about. But I think the attributes are that he's got to be well-connected, he's got to be able to broker peace, he has to have the credibility and a force and a political wherewithal to be able to do that.
We've got about 2 minutes left in the show, enough time for me to ask like one last question that I kind of wanted to get to. Unfortunately, you won't have as much time to flesh it out your answers as you might like. But
sure.
In your view, what is the purpose for all the tribulation that the Bible says that we're to experience? Why all the disease and war and pestilence and earthquakes and horrors? What's the purpose?
I'm going to go first, and I'll try to go quick. The clear purpose of all of those things is simply that Satan would be exposed as trying to destroy the purposes of God. God's intention is not that we would be sinful and not that we would have all that suffering, but rather that we'd be glorified and that we would walk with him for eternity. Satan, on the other hand, is the reason why those things have happened. And the tribulation is simply what must happen until God, Christ, returns and makes everything right.
Satan, as a fallen angel, has power and authority over this world. We are here to be sojourners and occupiers as Christians, that the tribulation is part of the redemption and salvation plan of God. So I agree pretty much with what you say, John.
Yeah.
Okay. Time for 30 seconds, a final shot. You can take it at me, or you can take it at a more worthy opponent.
That depends if you're really Satan or not.
So, John, your final thoughts, 30 seconds.
My final thought is simply this, that if Scripture is true, I believe it is, and Christ is coming again, and there's going to be the tribulation and the difficulty that Scripture tells us that we're going to have, then for us to pay close attention to what Scripture says about these things is extremely valuable and will end up with us being encouraged as a result.
Bill?
And if you want to learn more about that, go to my website at www.dailyjot.com and look at Warshod, but also know that you can live victoriously.
Amen. Amen.
Victoriously in this. Absolutely. And that you have an opportunity to know Jesus and have eternal life.
Thank you, Bill.
Now, I'll show you right there the difference between somebody who's media savvy and someone who's not. You give a pastor from a local congregation a chance to have 30 seconds to say whatever he wants, and he gives you something interesting to listen to. And then you go to somebody who spent 27 years in media-related things, and he gives you a 30-second commercial for his book and his website.
CrossroadsValleyChapel.org.
If nothing else, you've learned that this morning. Thank you, Bill Wilson, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Jonathan Schweitzer, thank you for being on the show again.
Good to be here.
And thank you for listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, brought to you by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction. They sell security, shredding today for growth tomorrow. 1-877-2-SHRED, 1-877, the number 2, SHREDD. If you're a local faith community leader or know one who would like to participate in a future roundtable, please contact me, Troy Skinner, at the offices of WFMD. Also, if you have a topic you'd like to hear discussed, please share that as well. My email address is troyskinner@clearchannel.com. That's Troy Skinner, all one word, at clearchannel, all one word, .com. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.